of Inside Out. Don't be sad. Please welcome Phyllis Smith. Trailer for Bill Hader. Could you ask for a better jewelry than Amy Poehler? You won't like him when he's angry, but you love him anyway. It's Lewis Black. Don't discuss the air for Mindy Kaling. We all love this movie so much. One of Pixar's very best, and to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the movie that started it all, which was Toy Story, that came out November 22nd, 1995. Amazing. But what was it like for you all when you read this screenplay to wrap your head literally around the scope of what's going on with this movie? Let's start with you, Phyllis.
Oh, okay. Well, I was, as always, I'm speechless. No, I was very excited to get the call, and I really don't know the magnitude of it even now, I don't believe. I was just really happy to go to Emeryville and have Pete and Jonas tell me the story and see the pictures, and immediately without a beat, without missing it, he said, yes, please. And had a great time, and I don't know, take it, Bill.
All right. No, it was great. I kind of stalked them, Pixar. I went to them, I said, I want to take a tour of Pixar. This is back in 2010.
Because you're a fan.
I'm a giant fan. So I just say, can I please take a tour? And I went around and I met Pete and Jonas, and there was actually a scene. Has anybody seen the movie? Everyone in here seen the movie, right? Okay, so I'm about to blow the ending of the movie. No. The Dream production, they said, we have this, they didn't tell me, there was a scene in the movie that deals with a live television element. We'd like to come to SNL. And I said, come to SNL. And they hung out at SNL for a week.
Wow.
For that, for reference of that sequence. And so they let me come and hang out at Pixar as a thank you. And then kind of were like, do you want to play Fear? And I said, sure. It worked.
Up, baby. All you.
I came to the project later, and they had done so much work already, and a lot of people had already recorded, so I kind of got this PowerPoint presentation of what the idea was, and I couldn't believe it was, the setting was a... was the mind of an 11-year-old girl. I just loved that that was the setting. I just thought, I honestly believed from the minute they told me the idea, I was like, oh, this film's going to be the best Pixar movie ever made, and it's going to make the most money, and it's going to win an Oscar. That's what I thought from the minute. I'm sorry about it, not to be like, but it's from the minute they told me, I was like, this is the best movie ever made, and it'll be the only good movie I've ever been in. And I can't believe I'm in it. I just thought about this day. Like, I actually thought about this, the day when the film came out. And because, as you can tell, I'm kind of a pessimist when it comes to these things.
Well, how about you, Lewis?
Well, I was the, apparently I found out I was like the first one cast. So I was really the tipping point. As soon as the others heard I was in it, they couldn't fucking wait to be with me.
Yeah, they said, do you want to be in a Lewis Black movie?
Yeah.
And I went, yes. And they said, you got to go out to Pixar. I went, oh, Pixar's doing it.
they did send me a box. I have to say, they showed, you never see this in this city or really in this industry, but a humility that is really almost psychotic. Because they sent me a box of stuff with a letter in which they said that I may not know who Pixar is, which meant either that they were crazy or they thought I was just some sort of a recluse. And so they said that they had this role of anger. Well, that fit. And that would I be interested in it? And maybe if I didn't know them, then they sent me all their stuff. Like, all these all these things that I'd seen.
They sent you their reel?
They sent me everything. And with and a big, nice book. I mean, I think I made out better than any of you. And I leapt on it. But they also sent, and I've said this before, they sent me about a 20-page kind of what they were thinking, a kind of a rough draft of the script. And I thought, and I read it, and I said, oh, my God, this is going to be a flop. And I'm going to be in the worst thing that they've ever done. And maybe there'll be something to that in its own special way. And then I went out there, and they'd already done 12,000 changes. And I went, oh, yeah, you're an idiot, Lewis. And it went. And the rest is now, like she said, this is crazy. What's going on here?
Perfectly cast. And Mindy, how about you?
Well, that is really true. Like, it's almost if Pixar and Pete and Jonas, the experience of working with them is like dating a guy. It's like this really well-raised guy that like doesn't know he looks like Tom Brady and has the title of Tom Brady, and it's just like, and we did these other movies and we have these other things, and you're like, I'm in. Like, why didn't I get it?
Totally. So, he's like, and I'm about your pleasure.
Yeah, no, and I'm
like, what are you? What can I do for you?
To be with you, and you say to your friends like, because they don't have to be that way frequently,
right?
Much less. Wonderful organizations teaming with talent treat you much worse. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you're kind of like, this is great. How do I take advantage of this?
Yeah, they act like it's a real privilege that they get to do their job. They can't. It's like they can't believe they get to do what they do, which is really nice.
Yeah. And I don't know. That was so great. You know, a lot of the people here, we have to create our own opportunities, or we enjoy doing that and orchestrate our own projects, and to be part of something where you don't have to, they want you to collaborate, but you don't need to because the standard of excellence is so high, is such a treat.
Wow. First question right over here.
Yes, Bruce Kirkland, Toronto Sun, good afternoon. Thanks for the film. And I think Mr. Black has already touched on this a little bit, but I'd like to ask you all what you see in yourself that makes it perfect that you play the characters that Pete Docter and the rest of the team wanted you to play. So how do you relate to the emotion that you're playing? And Mr. Black's already touched on this, but I'd love a little amplification. But let's start with Mindy and go in reverse order for the last question.
Sure, I think that there is the character discussed has a lot of qualities of a very impatient, judgmental adolescent girl. And because I seem to be recurring and playing that role over the end of my career, she kind of says the things that I say on a really bad day, the thing I really want to say, but then don't say. And basically, in my mind, the parenthetical for all of her lines is, I can't with this. It's sort of like what she's always thinking.
And first off, the use of the F word does not represent Disney or Pixar. Let's make that perfectly clear. For me, it's just that I have spent my... my family argued all the time. That's what we did. That was the way we expressed love. And so it's always been... So that kind of anger has always kind of been a part of me. And my mother couldn't cook.
Well, I think there's some characteristics of joy, like just some, maybe some like unrelenting energy and bossiness, perhaps that Pete and Jonas and Ronnie thought I could pull off, maybe from the other characters that I played. And I think she just likes kind of living in the moment, and I maybe like to think that I do that too, but I aspire to be more like Joy. And I think that the characters in the film get all of the range of emotions. Everybody feels anger, fear, sadness, joy, each, you know, in their own journey. So, Bill?
I think, yeah, I'm a big wimp. I don't know. I think they saw the medication I'm on. And I need to play fear.
Well, likewise, I'm just a mess. And I'm a real sad. sad sack. I sit around mope all day. And, I think they saw that effervescent side of me and decided to hone in on it. No, it's actually my insecurities that I think they, those little quirks that I have, that P was able to glean out of me. So, yeah.
Right over here, you got a question?
So my question is for the whole cast, Vanessa from Fandango. If you guys played your characters perfectly and your emotions perfectly, but if you can play another emotion, what would it be and why?
I would like to play anger. that feels like the one that next to joy and sadness for me is kind of in the driver's seat. And it's just so funny. Anger's so funny.
But do you ever get angry?
Of course. What the fuck kind of question?
Jesus fucking Christ. Does not represent Disney. Anyway. Everyone relax. There's little disclaimers that are just going to be coming. I would say anger is a fun one. Or a good one. Yeah, I would like to play anger. It's just very therapeutic, you know. It just felt like when I was watching Lewis's thing, and I'm like, God, what a nice just to go into work and be like, ah! Yeah, just to, because whatever thing that if you, sometimes, you know, in these things you got to do, you know, it's you know, when you do a take in a movie, you do it, and then you get some breathing room, and then you need time to relax, and you do it again. But in this, they do a series, so they say, do a series of that line. So it's like, open the door. Open the door! Open the door! You know, and you just start to go crazy. So they're nice to the anger, so you could use that. Right? Ah, you! That does not represent.
Oh, I wish you had told me that's what I was supposed to have done. I didn't.
You did the whole scene?
I did the whole scene. Now I'm really pissed.
Yeah,
I like to be angry as well as disgusted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, anger and disgust.
We're older.
Yeah, disgust. That's really my second place. The idea of I spend a lot of time on the road and in restaurants listening to people talk, and I'm disgusted. Mm.
I think I would be anger. It's not necessarily socially acceptable to be angry
in your home.
Yeah, woman. Why not? Yeah, and so that would be a fun thing to be able to do.
No kidding.
No one wants to be Joy. Isn't it?
Yeah, isn't that weird? We're older. Older. Inside Out too. Huh?
Mark with Forbes, and this is for specifically Phyllis, but I'd love to hear all of your take on it. How surprising was it, this being an animated film, to find out that and when the climax of the film comes along, that the core, the emotional center of things, the movie is sorrow, actually. That's kind of really not what you'd expect from an animated film. And it's like, how do you get over these problems in your life? Well, you cry and you feel horrible and you let your old memories all be consumed by sorrow. It's a really surprising message from a Pixar movie in a way, even though a lot of them, like Toy Story 3, of course, had melancholy to them as well.
I attribute that to the genius of Pete Docter and the writers, and they really, they took me on a journey too. I didn't realize that it was going to have that kind of feeling until the end of the movie, and I just love how joy and sadness, it shows the importance of your emotions in your life, and that it's okay to be sad and to have, and joy just compliments, becomes aware of that too. You know, it's a really nice moment. So it's Pete Docter's fault.
Yeah, Pixar doesn't patronize their young audience, and they don't underestimate the intelligence of their audience. You know, every time. So they keep, raising the bar, and also they assume that you and your big brain is going to show up, and your big heart. Like, they assume you're going to take all those things with you when you go see their movies. and you're so rewarded when you do.
Actually, Amy, I want to ask you, if Pete Docter talked about this when he was up just now, about sitting down with him, going through the script, and maybe making adjustments to certain things about it. What was that like to do that with Pixar guys?
It was, I mean, I know Bill did it too. It was awesome. I mean, I have a theory that with the exception of a few eccentric geniuses, I feel like most talented people are good collaborators because they're not threatened by other people's good ideas because they have a million of them. and so it was awesome. And my fear was that Joy would get annoying. And apparently she was, because no one wanted to be her.
That's okay. Well, you played it.
But just tracking that and make sure that she, you know what I mean? And we talked a lot about that, and pitch jokes, ways to walk that line where you weren't like, she wasn't driving you crazy.
Right, right. Mm. Right up here.
Jill Polk with the Toluca Times. Question from Mindy and Amy, if you'd like to chime in. Of course, the movie is all about feelings and memories. What is a core memory that you have as a performer or a writer or a producer?
Sure, I first would just like to say that the idea of core memory, if that's something that Pete and Jonas and Ronnie in this movie is making something that people say and talk about, because before they named it, I didn't know it. But there are such things as core memory, and that's what's so enjoyable about the movie is you're watching, you're like, thank you for putting a name on that. Now I know. And for me, my core memory was that my mother, who was my absolute best friend, when she was an OBGYN, when I was very, very little, I had that thing with my brother. I was very competitive about spending time with her alone, like one-on-one. That's so important to me that no one be in around except the two of us. And she came back from work, and she was in her scrubs, and she had been into the hospital, and she had, I grew up in Boston, so she had brought home Dunkin' Donuts. She had a jelly donut, which I had never seen as a kid, and I sat in her lap in the kitchen, and we shared a jelly donut. So it was like everything I'd ever wanted in the world, which is undivided intention for my mother and me, exposed to this like delicious new sweet filled with another sweet. So that to me is like such an important core memory.
First of all, I wanted to thank everyone who did a fantastic job on the movie, and it was really emotional. And also wanted to say thank you, Mindy and Amy, for all the work you've done in film and pop culture for women. And it kind of like latches onto what Scott was saying earlier about collaborating on the script. I was wondering for you ladies as producers and writers, would you ever consider doing an animated film or just even start something like a brain trust to come up with like more great ideas for more diversity?
That seems like a lot of work. But yes.
Smart girls, how do you do something that's so wonderful? She has 6 full-time jobs, what I love about what she's doing is and this is important to me also, but what I've loved is that she wants to give young girls a voice, and I think it's great. You know, it's the hardest thing about when you start creating your material and you're a woman is like all the people that I love the most, like they're so talented, they're great, and then oh, they have their own show, like Ellie Kemper, Amy Schumer, Amy Poehler, like they're the best, and it's like oh yeah, they're incredibly busy with their own thing, but I mean I love Amy and I love these opportunities when I get to sit, you know, 3 people away from her.
Yeah, we don't always get to work together.
So
all, yeah.
But yeah, of course the answer is yes.
Yeah, it's really cool to have young women like what you do. I really like young women. I like, and I love that age girl, the girl that Riley is, that moment before, you know, you've been thrown into the snake pit where you're just like all possibility and really open-faced and just ready for everything. And boys are the same way too. It's just that great time. I feel like as an adult, you're just trying to always get back to it. It's like magic hour. And I think we both have a lot of love for those kind that age, and it's really nice if that age, if anything we do resonates with people that age. It's really nice.
Question right here.
Pixar characters tend to have a long life beyond the initial film itself.
With this one, assigning emotions to characters as a physical embodiment, particularly for kids with special needs, I think this is going to be a big deal going forward. Are you guys prepared for that kind of legacy? And were you thinking about that when you were doing your voice work?
Wow, that's really cool. Really, I hadn't put that perspective on it. Really,
I was thinking about lunch.
I'm happy to represent joy until someone tells me to stop. That's not a bad job.
And I'm very happy to be sad.
So. Who's got a question over here? Scott, yeah.
Like so many Disney and Pixar movies, this one is going to be very important to kids who see it and grow up with it and revisit it over and over. And I'm curious, what are the Disney or Pixar movies that are really tied up in your emotions, the ones that you fell in love with as children?
Why their other movie that Pete and Jonas did, Up, I thought was just unreal. I thought that was really great.
Is that what the question was?
Yeah.
Disney
and Pixar. What about a Disney film? Like a
Disney movie?
What about when you were a child, Bill?
When I was a child?
Yes.
You know what? Do you remember the Ichabod Crane Disney one? Remember that?
Yeah.
What? That was it. Yeah. I dressed up like Ichabod Crane for Halloween like 4 years in a row because I was obsessed with that. It was great. It was just a couple of years ago. Dad.
Amy, Phyllis?
Go ahead, Phyllis. You got it.
I'm just an Up person, yep. As well as I date myself, but it's like Cinderella and older Disney.
Same.
Guys.
Yeah, I think it was like Sleeping Beauty, Cinderella,
yeah.
Snow White.
All those.
I loved Cruella de Vil.
Yeah.
Right? She was a funny.
Yeah, she was good.
She's a funny character.
Yeah.
A meaty character part for a woman, Cruella de Vil. May we all get to our Cruella de Vil stage in a matter of months. And now that I have kids, watching Pixar movies with them, you know, and they love them all. I love WALL-E. It's like I just love the first 35 minutes of no talking. Again, like the audacity.
Yeah.
To make a movie like that. That's why I like the big risk, big reward philosophy of Pixar. Like, this film is, like, really, like, high concept. And, you know, every film right now is going external. You know, everything's about, like, you know, made-up stakes. And, like, the world is ending. And, like, superheroes. And people are, like, you know, you have to save the diamond. You get the diamond from the... from the computer chip place. I don't watch these movies.
They have to get a diamond from the computer chip place.
We gotta get
the diamond from the computer chip place, so the world's gonna turn into an ice ball. Christopher Nolan.
Christopher Nolan. Ice ball, yeah.
Ice ball diamond computer chip store.
So all those movies, which I know a lot about, obviously, but no, they're all, and it's just it's so badass that Pixar went in, you know. Pixar was like, oh, you want to see some dangerous stuff? Why don't you go inside someone's mind? You want to see stuff that, like, a terrain that you live in every day, but know nothing about how it looks? We'll tell you. Like Mindy said, this is what this is called now.
Yeah, that's what Pete's so good at too, is like it's like a real artist, you know. It's not a pandery kind of thing, you know. Up, it's like an old man ties balloons to his, you know, house, and it's one of the most beautiful films I've ever seen, you know, and it's an expression of him, and he saw his daughter going through this thing and said, wow, what's going on with that? And it just came out of him in this way, and that's what's so great about Pixar, is that, you know, they trust their vision.
Mindy and Lewis, we never heard from you on this question.
For which Pixar movies, besides Inside Out, that we like the most?
Uh-huh.
Up really made me feel like, as a writer, thinking like, whoa, you can do anything. And as you get older, that is harder. to find movies that do that. You see things that you're like, that was great, and I could see how you could do that. And to not see the process is, those are like really the things that stay with you, you know? We were saying this earlier, there's certain artists where certain, you know, Pixar, the Coen brothers, Alexander Payne, where no matter what they do, you're like, I'm in, you know, and Pete Docter's one of those types of people. And that when I saw Up, I felt that, and so this was a dream come true. And Disney, when I was younger, since I bear no passing resemblance to any princesses, it's hard to really attach to them, but I really liked Robin Hood as portrayed by a fox.
Mm.
And I thought that he was very dashing, and while not human, I had a crush on him.
That's all right to say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Abe.
Yep. Hold on, I just checked. Yep, fine, not weird.
They endorse that.
I was never a child.
You came out like...
No, my mother carried me until I was 27. So, Up had a big effect. Up just irritated me because it was like I was old enough at that point to go, yeah, you know what I want to do for the next couple hours is confront death. That's kind of a fun thing for me to think about. Someone who's spending his whole life avoiding thinking about it, and it was literally like, oh boy, fuck, I'm gonna die. And then, the big one for me was the Disney was Fantasia, because that was the one that made me go, oh, I can't wait to do whatever it is they're doing. So you could laugh at that. That's funny. Okay, that's kind of a drug reference.
Drug.
Wow.
Talking about drugs.
Wow, guys. Seriously?
Jeez.
What room am I in? I'm in California. Jesus. I'm going home.
Everybody's stoned.
Really? That's unbelievable.
Come on, you guys.
And kind of an asinine little drug reference. Kind of goofy little joke, and you're going, well, should I laugh? I'm not sure.
This is from another time, Lewis.
Oh, man.
Smoking grass.
You have an excellent experience with improvisation, and I was wondering if you had that opportunity in the recording studio to improvise on the characters and the dialogue, and if so, how much of that made it into the final cut?
Oh, we all record by ourselves, so that's the, you know, we're just alone. Actually, Mindy and I figured this out, that we're all actually reading with Pete, usually. Mm-hmm. So in the movie, we're all just responding to Pete. All of our characters were basically just talking to Pete. I don't remember. I remember there's a part in the movie where I go up, where I say, I'm taking the coward's way out, and I go up. That was in the room, and I remember Ronnie Del Carmen, who's a genius. Ronnie Del Carmen boarded out the sequence in Up, showing the relationship between the two people. That's Ronnie Del Carmen. We were talking about that, and he's looking at me just drawing, and he goes, so like that? And he just drew it out. The way you see it, like, I mean, it was unreal. I was like, yeah, something like that. And I just did it. So that happened in the booth. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's a good
Bye.
One.
Phyllis!
Well, I had the privilege of recording with Amy. And we did have a couple three sessions together.
You guys got to record
together,
huh?
Yeah, we recorded together.
What?
Yeah.
Well, what's going on? Is that like, guys? How was that? I guess no one wanted to record with me. How was that, getting to record together?
It was great.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was great.
All right.
Amy helped me through some lines. Some lines that you might have been having a little trouble with, and she'd say...
Give
me
a suggestion.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Like, Amy's also been, like, really clicky throughout this process.
That's so weird. Yeah, I feel like I'm just putting this together, that I was kind of...
Felice. Until I was, like, Amy was just, like, really...
It's just we have some private jokes, and we don't want to tell anyone.
Just, like, when I was in a movie, and then they come back.
We're going to Chipotle.
There's this, there's a scene that's at the end of the movie where they come back, and we're like, guys, tell us about your adventure, and, like, you had to be there.
A lot of going outside and closing the door and be like, Mindy.
Oh, speaking of Bing Bong, we should take a minute to give due respect to
Richard Kind.
He's alive. Well, but he might argue. His performance is so amazing, mm-hmm. and heartbreaking.
Favorite moments of the movie.
He should be, is here up here with us because that character is
unreal.
Like.
We had a screening where we all got to watch it together, and we all got so emotional.
My favorite part is
scene.
when Bing Bong puts his hand out and says, "I got a good feeling about this one," and you're like, "Oh my God, childhood is over." It's like he resigns himself to the fact that I'm not going to be able to get up there with her. Oh.
Well, this scene goes quick to Amy looking at the memories and how good she is. That's the thing that's so hard with these movies. I go in there and it is really hard. People go, oh, it's really easy. You get to go in your pajamas and record and stuff. And you don't. It's really difficult. You're channeling everything just through your voice. And a lot of times you're just screaming. I'm just screaming for 4 hours. But Amy did such a nuanced, beautiful performance in that scene, I thought, where it was really, really unreal.
Okay. Amy, thank you for bringing up Bing Bong. So I was going to ask you guys, did each of you have an imaginary friend growing up? Maybe some of you still have one.
Imaginary friend.
let the jury note.
Yeah. Let the jury note that she referred to Lewis Meyer.
Did anyone have one?
My father. I'm joking.
No? Anyone else? No?
I feel like I was someone else's imaginary friend.
I had an imaginary enemy.
Who's that?
She's here. No, I'm sorry.
She's right here.
She's sitting so
on
great. You're sitting on her.
You're sitting on her.
No, I didn't have one. I didn't have one.
Yeah.
I did.
Friend.
You did?
I did, but and so did two other friends of mine, and I realized, that when talking about this, that I'm trying to remember I don't really remember much except that we, instead of attacking each other kind of and making fun of each other, it was all about how the imaginary friend was a jackass. So that my friend's imaginary friends were stupid and silly.
Ah.
But we never attacked each other.
Ooh,
we created these imaginary. Well, it was weird. I mean, most people would be talking to their imaginary friend, but we would use them to beat each other up, kind of. It was really strange.
Got time for two more questions. One over here.
First, I love the movie so much. It was amazing. I loved how she had all the different islands. Like, obviously, I think all of us have probably the Friendship Island or the Family Island, but I wouldn't know if you guys have any other kind of fun islands. Like, she had Hockey or whatever. And then the other thing, if you have time, is what is something that pops in your head, like that gum commercial? Because I thought of so many things like that, and I was like, oh, that explains how I keep having Call Me Baby in my head all the time.
Oh, thanks a lot.
In Boston, if you grew up in the Boston area, the Boston Herald had a number which was 423-4545. That what? Song.
How did it go?
423-4545. Yeah. Boston. The Herald's still around and I still have that number. I don't know my own phone number, but I have that in my head.
Sorry, I haven't thought of that in a long time. My islands would be Thousand Island. Fantasy Island. Kitchen Island. Skull Island.
Skull Island.
And,
wow.
And
Treasure Island.
Islands in the Stream. A thing that keeps getting stuck in your head.
I have a hot cross bun stuck in my head because my daughter is learning it on piano right now. It's 6 a.m. It's dun, dun, dun. And when she gets sad, she goes, like, the Phantom of the Opera. Hot cross buns, and my wife and I are just sitting there at the breakfast table. And she's like, I can't believe you guys. And she goes in the room, and you're like, dun, 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 dun.
Come over to mine.
Okay.
Some tasty treats over there. Mr. Rourke will take good care of you.
Barbecue Island. Pork in a variety of fashions, served in all sorts of delightful ways, slathered with sauce. That's a big island. And the other is Tahiti.
The actual island.
Tahiti is a big part of your personality.
It's huge.
Yeah.
That's where I go. That's where, when you look at me and you go, where's Lewis? He's in Tahiti.
You know, the answer to the question a little seriously, I think lately, like, Role Model Island is something that I think of, and I'm like, okay, that's a, and it's good. I think it makes me want to live my life in a way that I think is inspirational and doesn't, you know, make me feel ashamed of the people in my life. But that's one that I think about all the time. And then like sleeping, like that's a big sleep island, I think, to me is in my dreams is when I am my best self. Does that sound good?
Sleep island, yes. Especially today.
Boston Nova on Sleep Island. Pajamas, cashmere blanket.
White Russian.
Cozy spooning, but no sex on Sleep Island.
Only sleep. Only sleep.
But maybe not.
Got the good wife on DVR, but we don't have to watch it.
The opening of Little House on the Prairie. With the horses clomping. Oh, that puts me to sleep.
I don't know.
Well, Debbie, you better ask Greg a question and send us off.
Oh.
Oh, well, I don't know how great this will be. This goes to Bill.
All right, great.
We all know how this is going.
Yeah, everybody settle in.
With all the love in the world.
Oh, no, here we go.
Robert Osborne of film history and classic film to a whole new generation of kids.
Here.
So, if you had to describe to kids what makes or what will make Inside Out a classic film that they must see, how would you describe it?
No pressure, bud. This is the last question. It's a killer question.
Yeah.
A generation is depending on you.
Yeah.
Well, he just texted me and said this is the only question he cares about.
Oh. It's a quote. It's a quote that could change our lives.
Oh, gosh. We all remember where we were the day Bill Hader described Inside Out to our generation. That's what they're going to say when I get the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Be like in a wheelchair.
I was there when he said, when Inside Out, man.
What would make it a great film for children? I think what's so great about this movie is that they chose to make a film about a time in your life that we all have to go through. You go from being young, and then you start to go, you know, when you're an adolescent, and things start to change, and things start to get hard for you. And a lot of normal movies don't talk about that. I wish I had that growing up, because I would go through that, and you look for answers, and you think you're the only one going through this thing. And they did it in this film in such a beautiful, fantastical way, you know? And so that's why you have to see it, you know? It's a movie I wish existed. My life would have been a little easier, I think, if this movie existed when I was a kid, you know? How's that for an answer?
That's a very good answer.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Do we thank them for giving us the electrical detect
gift?
Thank you. Great. Really. Very kind of you.
You guys are so nice.
Thank you. Thank you.